verse number 10. Am I in Romans? You know, I am having more of these 14. I'm having more of these senior moments than I care to have. That's what I want. 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? We're pretty good at that, aren't we? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Now that's written to save people. Okay? That's the church. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of... Yeah, I won't give account for Pete. Pete doesn't give account for me. We got our nose in other people's business way too much. We got to put the mirror on ourselves. Okay, go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. Everyone. 1 Corinthians 3 now. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. I am not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. I am saved. I know I'm saved. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. But I mean to tell you, listen, the judgment seat of Christ is not just some flippant thing. If you ever had to go to court for something serious, there's a lot of fear, okay? And unfortunately, before I was saved, I had a couple instances like that. And I mean, you know, when you're looking at a possible jail sentence, there's a fear that comes. And when that guy is standing up there in that black, or sitting up there in that black robe with that gavel in his hand and has the power to let you go or put you in jail, there's fear. There should be a fear of the Lord in God's people's hearts. Here's what we do. We do not live in light of the coming judgment seat of Christ. Amen. We live in light of what the lust of our flesh are. Amen. No, that's not how a child of God should live. So I'm in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's pick up in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth upon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I'm not sure we take heed, guys. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what? Which is talking about what? Quality. Amen. Not quantity, quality. Amen. Okay, when those girls stand before Jesus at the judgment seat, what's he going to reveal about that song? How well it was sung? How in tune it was? It was their heart. Did they do it so everybody would say, oh, that was such a good song you did? Do you follow me? You talk about the all-seeing eye of God. God knows everything, doesn't he?
Amen. Thank God.
Guys, I have been preaching for a long time. And I am ashamed to tell you, there's times I know I get up and preach and I did not have the touch of God on me. Oh, yeah, oh boy is right. Do you know the responsibility I have when I stand behind God's holy desk and bring the word of God to God's people? I'm going to give account for every message I preached. Everything we do, God's judging it, the works. We come out to visitation. We come out to visitation. I don't like going to visit, but I'll go. It's wood, hay, stubble. Goes up in smoke. What sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a I like that. Amen. Don't you like that?
Amen.
I like it. I didn't institute it. God did.
Amen.
I want all the rewards. Okay, let me ask you something. What is your motive for getting a reward? Somebody raise their hand and tell me, what is your motive for wanting to get a reward? Brian. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to throw it, but I'm going to lay it down there. I want to have something. Can you imagine all the saved people that were so high and mighty? And they're saved. But that fire took everything to ashes. And when other people are laying crowns and gold and silver and precious stones down, they ain't got nothing. And what are they going to say? Boy, I wish I could go back and change that. That's regret. But you don't get any second chance. Now's the time. Now's the opportunity. A reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Look at 2 Corinthians. I'll give you one more. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Dan, do you remember the very first time you ever heard a message on the judgment seat of Christ? That's right. I got two Dans there. I was in Bible school, Caleb, and I believe it was my first year. And the one of the preachers said, there's a revival meeting across the river at some church. Do you remember we went to that church, heard that guy preach, and that's where we got the tapes on the family and stuff? That guy preached the message on the judgment seat of Christ. Caleb, I had never heard of the judgment seat of Christ. And he did a thorough job. And you know what I remember? I remember for days, I thought, I have not been living in light of the judgment seat. It changed my whole outlook on how I did things. My schoolwork. If you live in light of that coming judgment, it'll help you do right. So he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Giovanna, what was that preacher preaching last night on? I can't hear you. No, yeah, that was the first one. The second guy, the wild guy. The wonderful works of the Lord. Remember that? Did you see the wonderful works of the Lord? Did you wonder, are we ever going to get a house? Are we going to be sleeping in a tent? No, listen to me. That's the wonderful works of the Lord.
Amen.
That's answer to prayer. God answered your prayer.
Amen.
And he probably gave you a nicer place than you thought you were going to get.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
The wonderful work. Don't ever forget that.
Amen.
Don't ever forget that. Yep. That should encourage your faith down the road when you face other obstacles. Because you are going to face other obstacles.
Amen.
Boy, that was good preaching last night.
Amen.
I love good preaching.
Amen.
So he says, therefore, we are confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
You know, Mrs. Dunn's daddy is a saved man. But, I mean, he's incapacitated. He needs 24-hour care. And I said to Brother Dunn, who wants to live that way if they're saved? I'd rather go to heaven. So he says in verse number 9, wherefore we what? Give me a definition of labor. No. Hard work. It's hard work. Therefore, knowing what? Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. Whether it be what? Good or bad. Amen. Some of your works are bad. Amen. You think, well, you know, I'm under grace. I'm not going to take care of it. That's not what the Bible says. Some of your works bad. You're going to face it. That's not going to be a good thing. Verse 11, knowing therefore the, what's that word?
Terror.
Terror. Terror. Terror. When you were a little kid, Peter, you ever see your father get righteously indignant? I want to ask you something. As a little kid, did that put fear in you? It ought to. And that should have taught you that you don't want to make God angry.
Amen.
Terror. He is not a smiley face on a bumper, buddy. He's a holy, righteous God. And so he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now, we will be in heaven, those of us that are saved. Okay, and in heaven, we go through the judgment seat of Christ. Right? And then in heaven, what is the next event? It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? But that's after the judgment seat. And then you have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Meanwhile, down here on earth, we're going to go through what we call the earth is going to go through the tribulation. It's a 7-year tribulation period, and it has to do with the Jews. Amen. What God does is he goes back to the Old Testament dispensation of law, and he institutes it again here in that seven. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Go in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. It's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. Listen, guys, would you say things are bad on the earth right now?
Yeah.
Well, sure they are. Listen to me. During the trib, it's going to be way, way, way worse in all aspects of life over the whole earth. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time. It's because God's judging. So I'm in Jeremiah 30. Let's pick up in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Guys, don't forget about, 90 AD, 70 AD, the Romans dispersed the Jews all over the world. From 90 AD until 1948, the nation of Israel did not exist in the promised land. There was Jewish people, but they were dispersed throughout the land. Then in history, 1948, they start the nation of Israel again. This year, 2022, it's 74 years since the Jewish nation's been established again. Amen. So if you can work some numbers out with the 74th year and Jesus coming back, that would be wonderful, okay?
Amen.
But that's what it is. And that is the promise there. Now look at verse 4. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's a reference to the tribulation. Verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Look at verse 1 of Daniel chapter 12. What I'm trying to do right now is we came through the dispensation of what I call the church. Some call it the dispensation of grace. We have the rapture. We go up to heaven, judgment seat of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb. But down on earth, it's going to be the seven-year tribulation period. And it's been prophesied throughout the scriptures. And I just want to give you a few verses. Chapter 12 in Daniel and verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now go back to chapter 9 in Daniel, and you have the prophecy that God gave Daniel on the 70 weeks. Guys, I can't cover all the verses tonight. So if you're taking notes, another good scripture for Jacob's trouble in the time of tribulation is Ezekiel chapter 20 and verses 34 through 38. Amen. That's Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. But it's also outlined in your New Testament in the Olivet Discourse. Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 22. Caleb's taking bids for Joy's notes, too. Wow. Okay, so I am in Daniel chapter 9. Let's see. Let's pick up with verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the... And by the way, Michael was a greater archangel than Gabriel was. Just always remember that. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who's thy people? It's Jews, okay? So it's the Jewish nation. Tribulation is God dealing with the Jews. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. What's the holy city? It's Jerusalem. Okay, now here's the purpose here's the sixfold purpose of the 70 weeks. Number one, to finish the transgression. That is going to be God putting away the transgression of the Jews. Number two, to make an end of sins. And that's the sin of the Jews. Here's my reference, Romans 11, verses 25 through 27. I'll read it to you. This is Romans 11, starting in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You see that phrase, fullness of the Gentiles? When is the fullness of the Gentiles come in? When's the fullness of the Gentiles come in? the rapture. Because it's during the church age, God deals with individuals. When the fullness of the Gentiles come in, okay, we get taken out, and God gets dealing with the Jews again. So that's in Romans, that's Romans 11, verse 25. This is 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That is quite a statement. That's the end of sin for the Jews, and God saves them. And he says, and also all Israel shall be saved, that is, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. That's what God said. Those are his people. That's the apple of his eye. And the Lord is not finished with them. So, okay, the sixfold purpose of Daniel's 70 weeks vision, it's thy people is the Jews, the city is Jerusalem. Number one was putting away the transgression of the Jews. I'm back in Daniel 9, verse number 24. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Next one, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Zechariah chapter 13, I'll read it to you. Zechariah 13, verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Reconciliation for the Jews. The fourth one in verse number 24 of Daniel 9, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. What he's doing there is he's bringing in the millennial kingdom. That's going to be after the trib. We'll have that thousand-year reign of Christ. And then the fifth one is to seal up the vision and prophecy. And the last one is to anoint the most holy. And again, a reference there is Romans 11, 25. 70 weeks, 70 weeks. Let me give you some verses. Let's see. Let's go on down to verse 25 now. I'm in Daniel 9, verse 25. This is 70 weeks vision. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So what it is, okay, you have the 70 weeks. They said, when does it start? Do you see in verse number 9 there? Listen to me. I understand this is a little bit complicated. So if you have any questions, you're allowed to raise your hand and ask a question, okay? He's given the 70 weeks. It's a time frame. Do you got it? Okay, a week. Every 7 years, 7 days in a week, 7 years. I'm going to give you references in Numbers and Ezekiel, how God took a day for a year and a year for a day. Okay, so he says the weeks start. Do you see he breaks it up into 7 weeks and then 62 weeks? Do y'all see that? Okay, the first 7 weeks is the edict of Artaxerxes in Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, when he gives the command for them to go back and rebuild the temple and then rebuild the wall and rebuild the temple. That took place in about 445 B.C. Let's see. Tim, do me a favor. Look up Numbers 14:34 for me. Numbers 14:34. Go ahead.
After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach the promise.
Okay, so for every day, it's a year, 70 weeks. Are y'all with me? So, 1 week equals what? 7 years, right? Are we okay? Okay, so 62 weeks. Dan? I got it. I'll use the calculator. That takes us 434? Okay, so if it, trust this thing. Okay, so we have 400, let me get my dates. We have 445. And that's BC. And so 7 years, that goes to the second, the first 69 weeks will take us to Messiah the Prince. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Do y'all see that? And that Calvary is about, listen, I know we can fight about it, but let's just do 32 AD, okay? At this point, at the point of, okay, you can either use the time when the Lord comes in his triumphant entry or a week later, Calvary, okay? And that is when the Messiah came. That's when the clock stops on 69 weeks. We have 1 week left. Am I making sense here? And that 1 week is the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. That's how we know it's 7 years. Do you follow me? Now, it's complicated. I understand that. We're not doing a study just on the 70 weeks. You could do that for days and days and days, okay? So, 70 weeks. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6 is another reference for a day and a year. So, Daniel's 70 weeks, it started with Nehemiah chapter 2 and the decree, and it ends, the 69 weeks, ends with Christ's triumphant entry or Calvary. Now, the New Testament divides it up into 3.5 years and 3.5 years that we know as tribulation and then great tribulation. And so, let me give you some events in the tribulation. When you read your Bible, let's go to the book of the Revelation. I didn't finish up in Daniel 9, but if you go to verse 26 and 27, it brings the Antichrist showing up after the Lord is gone and then the Lord coming back. Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, you see the churches there, seven churches. Are you all with me? Okay, then you get to chapter 4. Chapter 4, what do you have? And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said what? What's that a picture of? That's your rapture. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Okay, so you rapture. So 4 and 5 is the elders and the view in heaven when we get to heaven. Chapter number 6 starts with your seal judgments. From chapter 6 to chapter 19 in the book of the Revelation, it's dealing with the tribulation. There's no church there. Amen. You and I have been saved by the grace of God from going through the tribulation. Amen. Now listen, anybody that says, you know, we're in the first half, let them go through the first half if they want to. You and I, we have been spared from that. Why? Because God is dealing with the Jews. The tribulation is in front. Our judgment is taking place in heaven. The Jews' judgment is taking place here on earth. And it's really a continuation of the dispensation of law for the Jews messing around with false idols and all that kind of business, not doing what the Lord wants, and rejecting their Messiah. So you get into, what I'm going to do is just give you some highlights of the trib, the Jews' This is Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. The Jews return to their homeland, but it's in unbelief. Guys, there's more Jews in Israel now than there ever has been since 1948. Amen. But it's in unbelief. You can't have a missionary in Israel as a missionary. Now, we have missionaries in Israel, but they're, you know, camouflaged. Yep. Okay, because they're in unbelief. They do not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Okay? The temple is rebuilt. That's Revelation chapter 11, 1 and 2. I get a prayer letter from a missionary in, he teaches school there. He coaches some sports teams. I don't even know how I got his letter. But he sends these articles. They want to rebuild the temple really bad. They have ever since they got back in there. The Antichrist is going to appear. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. After we get out of here, most folks teach that the Antichrist is going to show up. Now, he's not going to show up with a pitchfork or... Buddy, you talk about a smooth operator... That guy is going to be a... How do you get the Catholics and the Muslims and the Episcopalians and the Baptists and the Catholics all together? That guy's going to do it. Yeah. He's going to bring this whole world system into one in unity. He's going to fix the economy for everybody. Of course, with, you know, whatever the church is that goes out, they'll just take our bank accounts and our houses and our cars so they can deal them out in a... fashion. But I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's pick up in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Is there any doubt that's the rapture? I mean, you can't get any clearer, can you? Amen. Verse 2. That ye, Thessalonica, strong church, weak church, mediocre church, is a strong church. Look what he says. That ye be not soon, what? Shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is what? It's at hand. What's the context? I think the context is rapture.
Amen.
The rapture when the church is taken out. And yet there's something about that that would shake their minds. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a what? Fallen away first. And what's the punctuation point? What does a comma mean? Stop. It's a pause. Because I got something else that goes along with it. Is that correct? I'm not sure a English scholar would say it that way, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, let me ask you something. Guys, we know our Bible, okay? I mean, we don't know it as well as we wish we knew, but we know it pretty good. We know about the eye. We know about all that stuff about the Antichrist. What if all of a sudden something just blows up? Maybe Putin starts dropping bombs. Maybe that crazy Korean starts dropping bombs. And all of a sudden some guy comes to the forefront and levels everything out. And it's one man. And he's got an eye problem. And we're going to go, what? There's the Antichrist. And then we're going to go, oh, those mid-tribbers were right. I don't believe that. Now, I am not teaching as doctrine, but I think it's a great possibility because of that verse.
Amen.
The first time I saw that was when they were teaching that to me in my first year of Bible school. And he passed right over it. And I said, well, what about that? Oh, well, no, the Antichrist doesn't show up until after the rapture. I said, well, what is that about that right there? No, I'm telling you, it doesn't come up. I said, well, give me another verse. Can you give me another verse? Dan, can you give me another verse? This is what I'm saying. If that guy comes, that doesn't mean we missed the rapture. And it doesn't mean we're in the tribulation. But it's leading up to it, isn't it? It's leading up to it. Okay, so the Antichrist will appear. Israel In chapter 9 of Daniel, in verse 27, Israel enters into a covenant with the Antichrist. What do they start doing? Rebuild the temple, redo the sacrifices. And the Antichrist is what? He's good with that. The first half of the tribulation. And then there's the sealing of the 144,000, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 11, we have the two witnesses. I believe the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Go with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Look at verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. The Bible says, "And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Great tribulation. At the middle of that 7-year period, that 1 week, when the Great Tribulation starts, the Antichrist shows his true character, and it's listed a certain way in the Bible. Do you know how it's listed? The beast. The beast. That's in Revelation chapter 11. Let's go back there. Revelation 11 and Revelation 13. In Revelation 11, verses 4, 5, and 6, is talking about the two witnesses. Verse 6 says, "Power over waters, turn them to blood." Sounds like Moses. "To smite the earth with all plagues," they went. Verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." That's the Antichrist becoming the beast. Look at chapter 13. "And I saw, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like," and so forth. The Antichrist, okay? Look at verse number 3. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." What is it in Zechariah? It talks about his eye being bad. I don't know it right off the top of my head. Maybe I can find it real quick. Or is it Zephaniah? "Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." That is Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17. That's the Antichrist. Amen. So that's what's going to happen at the Great Tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, at that middle part of the tribulation, the beast comes and he makes the, he comes in, he messes up the temple, stops the sacrificing in the temple, and puts up an image to himself and commands everybody to worship them. If they don't worship the beast, don't take the mark of the beast, they're put to death. That's in the trib. During the trib. Meanwhile, you and I are in heaven, judgment seat of Christ, and then the marriage of the Lamb. Then, at the end, okay, Bree asked a great question. Turn with me to Thessalonians, if you would. I'm looking for the verses where if people don't get saved now, that God's going to send them strong delusion and they will believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Okay, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Okay, listen to me. Anybody that's saved, anybody that's lost, that has heard the gospel, that goes into the tribulation period, they can't get saved. They're not going to get saved. They are going to believe the lie of the devil. I was talking to Albert. Your dad is under conviction. But your mom keeps dragging him out. You need to pray that God deals with her too. I thank God for Albert. Albert's doing a good job up there. But pray for her daddy. He is under conviction, under conviction, under conviction. That's a good thing. Okay, so let's say Tim is lost and we're out of here. He starts the tribulation. He's going to hell. Okay, let's take somebody that has not heard the gospel. Take somebody over in a jungle or something like that that has not heard the gospel. They have never rejected Christ, never heard the gospel. They go into the tribulation period. They hear the two witnesses. They can get saved. Do you understand the difference there? Okay, if you have heard and you've rejected in this, the judgment comes down on you for rejecting Christ, and you will believe the lie of the devil. Don't you see how easy that is? Look at all these people that are believing the lies about COVID and shots and everything. I want to ask you a question, okay? When I was a kid, I got a polio shot. Did anybody else in here get polio shots? We all did. Guess what I did not get? Polio. When I was a kid, they did not have vaccines for chickenpox, mumps, measles. Okay? So I got mumps, I got measles, I got chickenpox, I got everything there was to get. I didn't have a vaccine for it. You with me? Okay. So now they're telling you, take this vaccine, right? But you're getting COVID. My neighbors took the vaccine, all the boosters. They just got COVID for the second time. The second time. Guess what they said? They did. Because they said this. Just think of how worse it would have been. Look at me. Believe the lie of the devil. Somebody goes, oh, how could they ever believe? Look what they're believing now.
Amen.
Follow the science.
Yeah.
We're in perilous times. I hate to tell you this, but my neighbors are saved as you and I are. But they watch way more TV than they read their Bible. They watch CNN way more than they read their Bible. And their preacher's not preaching the truth to them. Amen. So, what we're going to do is get to the end of the tribulation, okay? Let's go to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. You study Revelation 6 through 19, and you got the seals, you got the trumpets, you got the vials, you got judgment. I'm telling you, you got judgment. It's going to be a bad, bad, bad time on earth.
Amen.
Revelation 16, verse number 12. Bible says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Battle of Armageddon. Go to Revelation chapter 19. I'm just giving you some highlights here, guys. Revelation 19, look at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, behold, a white horse. Remember earlier in Revelation you saw a white horse? That was the Antichrist.
Amen.
Watch, look at this white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true.
Amen.
And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Amen. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's my Lord. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Look at verse 18. That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and they that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all fowls were filled up. So the end of the tribulation is what we call the battle of Armageddon. Amen. And then the last dispensation that we study is the millennium. That is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Look at chapter 20 in Revelation. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, what? 1,000 years. You would not believe some of the commentaries you read that don't believe it's going to be 1,000 years. In this chapter alone, verse 2 says 1,000 years, verse 3 says 1,000 years, verse 4 says 1,000 years, verse 5 says 1,000 years. I wonder if it's going to be 1,000 years. Verse 7 says, and when the 1,000 years are expired. This is what, listen, saved people, human beings, okay, go into the millennial kingdom. Everything, all the curses are taken off in the millennium. You go back there, you talk about the lamb laying down with the lion and all the cockatrices then. That is the millennium. God takes the curse off the earth. He takes the curse off the animals and all that kind of stuff. Hey, listen, men's lives start going like it did before the flood. They live 600, 700, 800 years, you know. Married couples, you know, they have 300 and 400 and 500 kids and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad I have a glorified body, huh, Miss Keenan? Our childbearing years are over. But the Lord rules with a rod. Okay, so listen to me. What's the crime rate during the millennial period?
Zero.
It's zero. No jails. The Lord rules with a rod of iron. So you're not. Women aren't worried about rape, and there's no drug addicts and no drunks. The Lord's ruling. There's not going to be any bars. There's no dope dens. There won't be any recreational marijuana joints.
Yeah.
1,000 years. Amen. We're not talking about fake religion. We're talking about the Lord Jesus ruling and reigning. We're talking about men and women in the flesh see the Lord of glory on his throne ruling and reigning. Amen. Those of us that get rewards, we will be ruling and reigning with him in that millennium. I mean, he may give you a state. He may give you a little country. And he may give you an outhouse. I don't know. It all depends on what you get at the judgment seat. You know what? There's a lot of saved people. They're just going to wander around with the people on the earth. That's what the Bible says. Because of your works. But what this has always amazed me. Look at verse 7. I'm in chapter 20. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to what? That's what he does today. Yes. Nothing new. Amen. To deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to what? What doesn't the devil know? When he's whipped. Right? He goes out to gather them together to battle. How many does he get? Two or three?
No.
Look what the Bible says. The number of whom is as the what? You ever sit there on the beach and pick up a handful of sand? Look at those little... I have. You have had the Lord of glory rule and reign for 1,000 years. Perfect righteousness, peace, joy. And as soon as the devil shows up, that flesh, your flesh, my flesh, same flesh, they rear up in rebellion against God. If that doesn't tell you how wicked man's flesh is, nothing will. But the Lord, once again, verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. Wasn't hard. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. Tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11, this is the end of the 1,000-year reign. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Lost people, where are they right now?
Hell.
They're in hell. But you know, 7 years tribulation, 1,000-year millennium, they get resurrected out of hell. Mm-hmm. And they stand before that great white throne judgment. And every chance they had to get saved, and every witness that they heard, every prayer that was put up for them, everything that they could have done to get saved is going to show them. And then what? He says, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, another book was open, which is a book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the end of the millennium. Now look at chapter 21. And I saw new what? And a new? For the first heaven, first earth were what? No more sea. Over there in Peter, let me see if I have the reference here somewhere. I think it's 2 Peter that it's the earth, the heavens and the earth are rejuvenated by fire, renewed by fire. I don't have the verse. I can't find it real quick. Here, I'm going to finish up. Just some characteristics of the millennium. It's a time of peace, Isaiah 2. It's a time of prosperity, Ezekiel 36. It's a time of righteousness, Isaiah 60. It's a time of joy, Isaiah 52, and a time of light, Isaiah 30. Truth, time of truth. The curse on the ground, curse on the animals is removed, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 11. Sickness is removed, Isaiah 29, Jeremiah. No sickness, amen? That's a blessing. Long life is restored. Isaiah mentioned that, 65. Population explosion, Jeremiah 30. And our Lord, Psalm 2, universal rule.
Amen.
He's loose, though. Great white throne judgment. Oh, it's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The renovation of the heavens and the earth by fire. 2 Peter 3:10. Then new heavens and new earth. And then eternity begins.
Amen.
Amen. I thank you for letting me take Wednesday night and finish my Bible Institute course. I'm sorry I missed it. Amen. Any questions? Good.
Wow.
Now, if you have a question, I'll try to answer it.
So you said all the people in the tribulation are going to have a chance to get saved. What about the people in the millennium that get born during the millennium?
Yeah. I believe in any dispensation, okay, God issues his decree and man has to either believe what God says or not. So obviously, during the millennium, a lot of people are born that have the old nature that need to be saved. But they don't get saved because when the devil shows up, they join up with him.
Yeah.
I do not believe that in the millennium people get born again like you and I got born again. I believe this dispensation of the church was just a special dispensation for God to choose him out a people to be the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. Abraham's not in the bride. Enoch is not in the bride. They didn't get born again like you and me. So I don't know all the ins and outs, but yes, they will have an opportunity to be saved. I just don't know all the ins and outs about it. It's above my mental capacity. See, because listen, guys, some guys come up with a real simple chart, okay? I know this. Anybody that's saved in any generation, it's the grace of God.
Amen.
It's faith and it's blood.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how you apply that in every dispensation. I know how to apply it now.
Amen.
And I'm real concerned about that.
Amen.
I don't believe anybody's in heaven because they live such a great life. I do not believe in justification by works in any dispensation.
Amen.